TV. Inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other. Delivering inspirational TV, one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Tony Lontis.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our listeners joining us live from America, Canada, the US, all across the US, Germany, Russia, and the UK. Welcome back to Everyday Business. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and I actually have not one but two guests today. But before I introduce them to you, here's what you need to know. In the background, we have the wonderful Payo in the Philippines listening, ready and waiting to take your comments, questions, and send you the links about anything that we talk about in the show today. Please don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We love you, and we want you to subscribe to the channel. That would be fantastic. And of course, if you miss this show and want to catch up on any of the replays, jump on to Binge TV USA, Here I Go TV USA, and of course the Tony TV channel app, available on all Roku, LG and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. Now, something that is very close to my heart and that I want to implement across all our shows in 2022 is a very Australian introduction called Welcome to Country, and it goes a bit like this. In recent years, government departments, agency, as well as private and public organisations and corporations have put in place protocols that recognise and pay due respect to the original inhabitants of Australia. And this has occurred within the context of the national reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. And it goes like this. I respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, which is the Gold Coast in southeast Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and broadcast, and pay my respect to the elders past and present, and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today, and especially those of you that are listening on the show. Now, I have the extra special privilege of having two wonderful women on the show today, Dorothy Graham and Kimberly Genovese, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, and they are from the Unstoppable Overcomers. Now, here's what you need to know about Dorothy. She was born and raised in Ontario, Canada, and you know how much I love Canadians, considering my brother married one 30 years ago, and she's turned her love of books into her next career, writing them. She loves to help people succeed in life, and when she's not writing or reading, she's helping her community or spending time with her beautiful family. Dorothy is also a life coach and speaker and host of her own show. Her purpose is to make sure that people do not feel alone or unworthy, and she believes every life matters, a conversation that we alluded to before the show went live. She's dedicated herself to helping others overcome their obstacles and learn to feel empowered to move forward in their life and to share their own unique story. And the beautiful Kimberly is currently focused on the art of serial entrepreneurship. Her ability to provide fertile space for radical accomplishments is unprecedented. She has spent her life obsessed with being not just She has spent her life obsessed with not just being the difference, but making a difference. She is not satisfied until this difference is achieved, including mastering the art of creating consistent, reliable, miraculous results through authentic self-expression with freedom, ease, and love present. Isn't that beautiful? In every new company that she establishes, she is committed to being the gateway for the growth of the people within her care. She is a team management and leadership program classroom leader for Landmark Worldwide, and amongst all of her accomplishments, she also remains married to her husband, Gary Keller, and is the founder of Keller Williams Realty. So real estate. I'm getting my words tumbled today. That's what happens when you have too many things on in your day. She has blazoned uncharted trails and over many economies over many decades. And I am really privileged to have both of you ladies present today. And I just want to start with a quote. It takes 20 seconds of insane courage to change your life. And for me, sometimes that 20 seconds is the opening remarks of each and every show. Hello, ladies. Good evening and welcome to the show. How are you, Dorothy?
I am amazing. Thank you for having us on here. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, Tony.
Oh, thank you. And Kimberly, you're in the US. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I do need to clean something up. I'm not married to Gary
Oh.
Keller. So, I so those of you out there. Just want to
My
get that
drop.
cleaned up. I'm married to the incredible Stephen Genovese, and I've had the privilege of getting to work with Gary Keller, and also be a part of Keller Williams Realty Company globally. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, just so we can
That's
uncollapse those two before we go any further.
Dear, dear, and
Tell
that's what
Stephen it's my
makes
fault.
hosting, yeah, just that's what makes hosting live shows so beautifully perfect in its imperfection. So, I firstly wanted to talk to each of you about life up until this point. So, let's start with Dorothy. Can you tell us a little bit about you growing up and your path in life so far?
Sure. I grew up in I thought was a normal home. I have two amazing parents, and I was overweight, and I was bullied all through school for that weight, which led to low self-esteem, and which led to me being vulnerable to being in an abusive relationship because I didn't know any better. I didn't think I could get anything better. I settled. Which turned into a nightmare. As well, growing up, my parents were amazing parents, but they didn't take care of themselves health-wise. So there was a lot of different, health issues from heart and stroke to diabetes to my dad had cancer, recently passed away from that. And so it's just been a cycle of never ending chaos with health issues. And
Yes.
my dad's brother took his life Christmas Day, it'd be 24 years ago now. So I was no stranger to overcoming each obstacle that was there and overcoming everything that was thrown at me. And mental health was really
Yes.
in the rampage within my family, both more well anxiety on my mom's side and depression on my dad's side. So it
Yeah.
was lonely at different times, and it but I wouldn't change anything. And that made me the person I am today because I believe I went through everything so that I could help other people. And when you're going through those moments, it can be extremely lonely at times. And I just That's why I started sharing my story because I thought, well, I don't want other people to feel that way. So, yeah, so that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Fantastic. And Kimberly, tell me about you.
Sure. So do you want childhood? Do you just want a little like
Whatever you would like to share with the
Yeah.
audience that gives them a background of who Kimberly is.
Sure. Fantastic. So I was blessed to get to live through multiple divorces and households. And when I say blessed, the opportunity it's created for me is, at 57, I've gone through so many different scenarios and situations. that it gives me access to be able to relate to people and life in such a great way where I can really be in their world and they know that I can be in their world. And also I'm gifted with empathic abilities. And so there's just the ability to be present and be with another life form on any level is just, I'm so grateful for it. And to be at this point in my life where I'm so crystal clear the difference that fun and laughter make for people to experience yes. their lifetime, no matter what they're dealing with in such a way. For those of you who are aware or not aware about Bob Saget passing, right? Yeah. One of the things he lived by is that, you know, laughter is the greatest medicine. And I keep hearing it over and over, RuPaul, and, you know, just, and so I'm just, at this time of my life, I find myself hitting this beautiful, beautiful stride and just so grateful for my life that I get to, you know, be in a joint venture with Dorothy and spreading love and laughter and fun as a basis for the canvas of life, for all life to be celebrated and to experience. So that's my joy.
Yeah. That's wonderful to hear that. For both of you lovely ladies, I've had similar conversations this week about women in our 50s. And from a world perspective, sometimes we seem invisible to the world, but gosh, there's such a wealth of experience, such a joy in sharing that experience. There's a confidence and comfort that comes when you get to this age. And that was my next question. How did you, Dorothy, and you, Kimberly, connect and then go, oh, let's do a show together? What was that story like, Dorothy? You first.
Sure. Just backing up one step first.
Yes.
Before the show. So I was, you know, I just shared with you my background
yes.
and how I was raised and things like that. So I was the shy, introverted child that didn't want to be center of attention. But I had a story, and I knew for years God had been telling me, write this book and get it out. And I'm just like, there's no way.
No.
I said,
absolutely
not. I'm
familiar with that.
Yeah. And then he kept going, bugging me for 5 years. And yes, I'm very stubborn in my opinion on what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. So I said, I don't have the time. Well, then the pandemic hit and he says, girl, now's your time. So I wrote my book in 3 months, got it out to the world. And then I thought, okay, so it's, and then, you know, I'm sure you both can relate. We all written books. So, you know, how do we get this out to the masses? And this little girl
yes.
from Windsor, Ontario, has nobody knows who the heck she is. So, you know, I was out there, I was on a bunch of different podcasts and, you know, people started to know who I was. And then I would start going live on
yes.
my face. I had a coach tell me, you have to go live every day on your Facebook profile
and
about whatever God tells you to do. So it's just like, you get your phone, you click it on, you go live, and whatever God's prompting you to do, that's what you do. So I did that. I did that for an entire year. And I'm thinking, okay, so I started to gain a little bit of a following. And I'm like, okay. And people were like, just when I was ready to give up, because I'm like, no one's commenting, no one's saying nothing. Then all of a sudden I had these people say, I really love what you're doing. Thank you for sharing. You're very vulnerable. Like, I shared every experience possible that I came across. And so people, you know, some people thought, well, why are you even sharing that? I'm like, because there's somebody out there that needs to hear it. There is somebody yeah. out there that's going through the same thing, but I'm the one that has the nerve to say it. And, mm-hmm. and so I was just like, okay. But then I got to thinking, you know, cause I was meeting so many different incredible people that had different stories. And I'm like, and my philosophy is everybody in the world has a story to share. And we are all connected to different people. And by not yeah. sharing our story, somebody could die. Literally, somebody
right.
could die if you don't share
Absolutely.
Your story.
Absolutely.
I thought, okay, this is great. I like sharing my story, and I still do, but I mean, I want to hear from other people. So that's why I saw actually on LinkedIn, this guy was doing a streaming class, and I'm like, well, what is that? So I jumped into this course, and it was all about live streaming. So I'm like, I'm already doing the lives on Facebook, and God kept prompting me to go to LinkedIn. So
yes,
that's what I did. And I took this course, and I'm like, oh God, I was so nervous. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, but, and I'm like, oh, this is so hard. But the funny thing is I loved it. Like, I am rejuvenated when yes. I interview somebody yes. and like, I can be tired all day yes. long. I have a full-time job and I coach yes. and I do,
yes.
you know, get, you know yourself, Tony, when you're trying to get ready for a show, yes. it's not just,
absolutely.
It's not just push play. Like you gotta,
it's
you
a
gotta
lot.
Cue it. You gotta do everything. You gotta download it. Yes. You gotta get it yes. out to the masses.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay. So I just kept interviewing people, and the more people I interviewed, the more people, it's just like, this is amazing. And so I had met some two incredible women at the beginning of 2021. And these women are like sisters, and these women had a, had a Saturday morning group. So in the Saturday morning, there yes. is now eight of us, but they introduced me to Kimberly. And yeah. so the Unstoppable Overcomers, it, you know, it could be really serious at times. We take people through a deep dive, yes. you know, of people's lives, and we are very real. We are real raw, and we are vulnerable on the show. And, but we do that because we want people to know that they're not alone in their circumstances. So yeah. when I met Kimberly, Kimberly is like, well, God says we should do this, and I'll leave it to Kimberly to do the next part.
Fantastic. Over to you, Kimberly.
Yeah. So in our collaboration and really just, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, guiding us every step of the way, was this overwhelming message of having the show end on a high note, having it end, you know, and really leaving, you know, it's rich as though the show is so rich and luxurious and deep, and sometimes intense, right? And
yeah, absolutely,
you know, intentionally, right? You know, so that they're left at the end of the show though in some form of laughter and lightness and executable steps that they're able to yeah. access from the guests. So we've just Dorothy and I have just had a ball letting the Holy Spirit lead us and take us where there is to go. And so because inside of my personal journey, you know, having a full-time show, at least at this point in my life, is not a match, but to be the roving reporter, yeah. being on location, going to the, you know, I'm not going to give away our location for next week. And it is not in the Midwest. So, but, you know, just really watching Holy Spirit align us and create this beautiful rhyme and rhythm and harmony of song. It's really becoming quite spectacular. It's a real gift.
Fantastic. So Dorothy and Kimberly, both of you have had to overcome certain things in life. And Dorothy, is that the reason why the show is called Unstoppable Overcomers? And do you want to just talk a little bit more about that, particularly about the mental health? Because as you know, I've had my own mental health battles, and I try to talk about it as often as possible, simply because I remember the stigma of that diagnosis and the sting. And had I not felt that, I would have got help sooner and would have experienced healing and a more fulfilling life had I not allowed that to hold me back. So I am absolutely passionate about talking about people's mental health. And you actually don't need a diagnosis to experience periods of time in your life when you're over-anxious, you're depressed. It doesn't have to be a continual life diagnosis. Every one of us will experience depression of some shape or form throughout our lives. For some of us, we're unlucky enough to have that as a continual battle, but for others, it'll just be a period of space of time. So I wanted to talk to you about those battles for you, Dorothy, and what they looked like and how you sort of got to the other side.
So, yes, the show is absolutely, it started off with overcomers for sure, because the title of my book was The Overcomer, Facing Challenges with Faith and Courage. So I had put out there, and actually Monique Hubert from Windsor, Ontario, I had put out a thing saying, okay, I know part of the show has to be overcomers. What's the second, what's the first part? And she came up with Unstoppable. So I'm like, and that is ironic how I landed on that. And so I gave her a free copy of the book so that she, for helping me come up with the title. Yes. But yes, definitely depression has definitely, throughout my lifetime, has definitely been something that I battled. When I was in my abusive relationship, my personal one, I was depressed. And then when I worked for a trucking company back then, and things were crazy, and it was abusive in there professionally as well. I mean, when I first started, there was a phone whiz by my head because the husband or wife would get into a battle. And after 9 years, I mean, there was a lot going on within that job, and I was in this relationship and trying to find a way out. And I was actually clinically diagnosed with depression. I don't share that story too often, but I'm willing to share it. Clinically diagnosed, and I was on antidepressants, and I'm the type of person that, don't put me on a medication because I will find a way to get off of it. I do not like taking, I have kept on my high blood pressure, so I'm still here, but
yeah, that's the other thing, Dorothy. It's, I don't think we inherently like having to take something that is external to us. However, we all inherit genetics. And if you're predisposed to high blood pressure and stroke, and you got a lot of things that you want to do, well, you want to make sure that that doesn't happen, hey? So, that I had the same battle. And there was that struggle about, oh, I need to get off this. Once I've got this and got it under control, I need to get off this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can't, and that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah. And like this, like I said, this is just my story. So like take it or don't take it.
Yes.
If your doctor tells you to be on the medication, then take your medication. But for me, so through some of my parents' journey, I had seen people become addicted to medication, and I've seen the addictions, and I didn't like it. And that's part of my reason for trying to get off that. Mm. So I told my doctor, because my doctor for 2 years had begged me to quit the job and to get out of my relationship, and I didn't. I thought, okay, there's a way I can try and make this work. I can try and make this work. You know, something has to be wrong with me, and I will make this work. My blood pressure at that time was 178 over 150 at the time. So he's like, okay. And I was getting cluster migraines. So I was depressed. I was getting migraines, and my blood pressure, I was ready to stroke out. So I went on the antidepressants, and I said, okay, I'm giving this 3 months to work. If it doesn't work, I'm off of it. And so he agreed that, you know, he would work with me, even if I had to show up at his office every week just to make sure that everything was kosher, my numbers were good. So I can remember, this is the type of guy I was with. When I told him I was on antidepressants, he goes, well, that's great. That's just going to ruin your sex life. But I'm like, that's all you have to say. I just came home and I told you that he put me on this because, like, I wasn't.
Because you're in a suicidal. Bad way.
Right. I wasn't suicidal.
But you're close.
I was close, but it's still, you know, and. It, like I said, mental illness ran in my family. So I was just like, I wanted a precaution. So when he told me that, I just looked at him and I like, okay, whatever. Obviously the relationship didn't last and God saved me from that relationship. And I ended up, there was an incident that happened at work, and I'm very integrous. So if if it doesn't line up with my values and my core beliefs, then no matter how long I've worked for you, it's not going to work. And I had worked for the gentleman for 9.5 years, and there were other problems within there too. Something happened. It was illegal. That's all I'm saying. And I was just like, keep in mind, I already had all these mental health struggles. So I called my friend. I texted my friend. I'm like, he just did this. And she goes, what are you going to do about it? And I called my doctor on my lunch hour. And I said, can you write me that doctor's note to get off work on stress leave? He says, what do you want me to say? I said, this is what I want you to say in it. I picked it up. I come back to work the next day with my letter. And I'm saying, you know, I'm going off for, I don't know how long it was. I think it was 13 weeks at the time. And he called me up on a Friday night and said, you're never coming back, are you? I said, no, I'm not. And I probably might have done it a different way. But at the time, that's what I was, that's how
that's
it happened.
That's what you needed to do.
Yeah. And
Dorothy, if you don't look after yourself, and this was something that I struggled with and had to learn, if you don't look after yourself, if at some point in time you don't put yourself first, you are no use to the rest of the world. It just doesn't, you have to put yourself first. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't work. And that was a struggle and a learning for me to go, I can't do this anymore. Something has to change. This is what it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of my biggest advocates right now. Like, I can see the pattern in my life where I let everything come before me. And I was just like, it took my dad's first diagnosis of cancer 2.5 years ago for me to finally implement it. But I am like, if I feel myself getting to that point, I'm like, okay, you know what? No matter what was on my calendar, it's scrapped. And I'm going to go relax. I'm going to go do something fun. I'm going to go for a walk, run, whatever, read a book, whatever.
Yeah. Kimberly, what about you? What have been some of the things we know from the research that divorce has an impact on children? And so if you've been in that environment or you've had to walk through that, it leaves lifelong impacts. What was that like for you?
Yeah, you know, my journey, there was never any actual diagnosis or any working with any kind of therapist or things like that. And, you know, for anyone who's listening and anyone this touches, you know, what it ended up producing is suicidal tendencies for me.
Yeah.
Because I kept everything pretty much locked up that I was dealing with. And there was abandonment became a norm, you know, that I was someone that was easily able to be abandoned, right? That whole unworthiness conversation, right? So for anyone who's dealing with anything like that, what I found, especially because if you're not in a position, you know, where it's crazy, especially because it's for me, it started when I was 2. So it's almost like you don't know life any other way. And so you don't know, right? Like you don't even know that there's a mental illness issue. And I personally like to refer to it as a dis-ease, right? Like not like literally a dis-ease. There's a lack of harmony between your spirit, body, and mind. There's been a disruption. There's been a trauma. And that would be the big thing I would want to point to anyone listening is, you know, we don't teach people how to process grief.
Trauma.
And it ends up getting locked into on a cellular level,
Absolutely.
Not even go into the ancestral natures of it, right? And keeping it simple, keeping it fun, the mental, right?
this
is our little tagline. is 2 things that were instrumental for me, and it was animals were a huge source of restoration and healing. And they really pulled forth my empathic parts of my being. Yeah. And they literally saved my life more than once, specifically horses and dogs. And all nature, you know, speaking to me in different ways. And then the other real key element was falling in love. Whether like a best friend or, you know, my husband of 30 years, right? And again, everyone, not Gary Keller. because what was there was that I had to share with him my traumas and the things that I was labeling myself as unworthy, right? Like that I shouldn't even be alive, you know, for the things that I personally had, you know, taken activities in over my youth and young adulthood. And, you know, to have someone to share what you have is worthy of killing yourself over, and have them be so loving, so unconditional, and so like matter of fact, like, what's the big deal? Like, so, you know, thinking they're going to leave you, right? Like, think they're going to leave you on the curb, right? Like, you know, was magic. And, you know, that was actually my best friend of 30 years was the first person I shared with. And then him, and then, and then it just took off from there to the point now where I'm able to, like, that is a source of where I provide that for other people. And specifically, you know, I had an abortion, which was the result of the traumas and the, you know, the unworthiness and just the whole world of it. Right. So.
Kimberly, how something else that I learned along my journey, and something I actually dedicated to doing with my children, was the concept of unconditional love. Because I'd come from an environment where love, I felt love, and it was conditional on what I said and how I behaved, one of the things that I wanted to change in my children's generation was to love them unconditionally, and for them to know that no matter what they did, no matter what they said, no matter what happened to them, I was going to love them anyway, because from my perspective, I'd never felt that, and I wanted them to experience that. I am imperfectly human, and I'm not sure that I always did that very well. However, it was a game changer, and has been a game changer in getting my daughter through her own trauma, because there were points in her life where she had alienated everyone in her inner circle and tried very hard to alienate me. Sure. But by that stage, it was, I was able to recognize that that was about her own unworthiness and her Absolutely. Feelings of being unlovable. And I just kept saying, I'm your mum. I'm going to love you forever. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, I'm still going to love you. And there were just horrendous circumstances sometimes. She would be screaming, yelling, virtually fisticuffs type situations, very high level angst, icky situations. Yeah. And I would just turn to her and say, it's okay, honey, I still love you. And I think, and from her perspective, retrospectively, she said, that's the only thing that kept me on this planet, was that you just kept saying that no matter what I did, no matter what I said, no matter how I behaved, you were going to love me. You didn't like the behavior, didn't like the words, but I knew that you still loved me. So that concept of unconditional love is very powerful. Dorothy, how does that play out in your life?
Well, I knew my parents loved us. Okay, so my dad wasn't your typical dad. My dad was, my parents made sure that they were on opposite shifts when we were growing up at one point, so that one of them would be home. And I actually worked at the same place for a while, pretty much the entire time we were growing up. So, and my dad was a supervisor, my mom was on the floor. So, I always knew my parents loved me. My dad was more vocal about it than my mom, but you know, it, looking now as an adult and seeing, you know, how my mom kind of kept that to herself, I can see where it comes from, because I see where it came from her mother, because we're going through that now with my mother. So, but my dad was always, you know, more affectionate and more, he actually curled my hair one time for school pictures.
Aww.
And he burnt my ear so bad I thought it was singed off. But I mean, he's the only dad I know that did that back then anyways. And he just an amazing guy. And to not have him here is hard. But but to know that we're leaving this legacy of being unstoppable overcomers in his honor, I feel
he would be so he would be looking down going, go Dorothy.
Exactly. And it's funny because my mom kind of shows love in a different way. Like she'll do things for you, or, you know, she is incredibly talented. She makes the most amazing, beautiful cards ever on the planet, which are all over the world, including, I think there's one in Australia somewhere and one in England. That's how far her reach is. But she is just so, you know, she'll like, oh, do you need a card for this or that? And she's done so many thank you cards for me, because I believe in giving thank you cards, you know, randomly and things like that, and birthday cards. And Kimberly, your Christmas card is here. I just haven't mailed it. I'm sorry. Things got crazy and they're sitting in a bag in my room. No, seriously, I'm
withholding my love until I get my card.
All right. I'll mail it by the end of the week. Anyway, so with that being said, like she shows love in that way. And it's funny because I was, you know, being daddy's little girl, I wasn't sure how it was going to plan out, because both of them had health issues. Like she's had heart problems and that. So I kind of expected my mom to go first. But that's not the case. And it's funny because it has grown. We have grown stronger and closer as a family. And I have being the leader, you know, in my family, I've taken a step back and just allowed my brother and my mom to be who they are. And it's been absolutely phenomenal to watch the growth in them these last 4 months. Yeah. And so it's funny because even with my brother, like my brother and I we would fight and argue as we were growing up. But, you know, it's okay if I called him an ass, but don't you? Because I would go after you if you called my brother an ass. And to this day.
Yeah.
You know, when he had kids, his oldest is 19, will be 20 in a couple months. You know, things changed, and, you know, no matter what, we're always there for each other. So it's always been that cycle of love, and we may love differently than other people. And it's funny because growing up, it was the chaos of, you know, somebody always being sick, and I never really, to me that was normal life until you experience life and have friends and their life is completely different than yours. But
different,
right? And I forget where I was going. So I met up with a friend. She goes, hers was the same way. Her mom had cancer her entire life. So she, you know, that chaos of that. And I'm like, no wonder why you're always thinking that something's going to happen, because that's how you grew up your entire life, thinking something's going to happen.
Yep.
And so there's always love through everything. Like not a time in my life where I didn't know that my parents didn't love me, but it was just different.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Kimberly, I'm going to go back to that concept of unconditional love, but from the animal perspective, because interestingly enough, just the show before this show, we were talking about empathy and empaths and the correlation between animals and healing and trauma. And I was just going to say the powerful importance of the unconditional love that a horse or a dog or a cat or an animal of any description can give to a human is very therapeutic. Was that a help in your own healing, Kimberly?
It was more than a help. I mean, literally there were suicidal moments. That there's one story that I love to share with people. I was in it lived in the world of being tossed, you know, from one, you know, my with, you know, the whole divorce thing, right? You know, and so I got tossed into what I didn't know at the time was going to be literally the best, like my safe haven, my sanctuary, you know, my land of milk and honey at the age of 9 or 10. My father was living on a horse farm with his current wife. And it just, you know, every time I got tossed into a new environment, it was scary, right? You know, it was petrifying.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, some of the women he had been married to had been, you know, abusive to me. And this was a new wife, right? You know, so I had no idea what I was walking into. And we got to they had a horse farm, we got there. I wasn't there more than like an hour, and they're like, "Go clean stalls," you know, and it's like, okay, here we go. Cinderella story.
Oh,
more of it.
Now
I had grown up with horses, so I loved them. So it wasn't you know what I mean? Like that, just so everybody's clear, right? Like kind of that sense of being, you know, everybody else went to the ball and I was being sent to the, you know, stables to
definitely
clean. So I was out there, and again, I'm not more than 9 years old, and I'm just, I'm in this pasture, and I'm bawling profusely, and I'm just, you know, so alone, and I'm all alone, right? And at one moment, I felt this air on my head.
Aww.
And so again, you know, imagine this beautiful little girl, right, who can't see her beauty at all at this point. And I'm just like, and I'm bawling, I mean, just completely traumatized. And finally I look up, and over my head was 8 horses in a circle, in a perfect circle, breathing life on me. Right. And their little noses up there. Right. You know, and it's just like, you know, in that, like that, it is an experience that will be with me forever. And you know, in that moment, I was like, why am I alive? Like, you know, very much so. Right. And they breathe life into me and over me. And all animals are capable of that. You know, they're
absolutely,
they don't know anything other than harmony. And especially if you're in a vulnerable, traumatic state, they will close the gaps for you.
Absolutely.
And that's just one of many, my personal pet project, pun intended, is my company right now called Golden Grows. And the intention is to bring together people, animals, and plants to heal and bring harmony back to that, you know, those relationships, and provide that. So, but yeah, in the world of love, like they know how to show love at its most raw.
Unconditionally. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I know. At key parts of my healing journey, there's always an animal involved. And again, I talk almost daily about my 7 goats and my 2 llamas. And if I'm having a bad day, all I need to do is just walk down the back ramp and into the goat yard and sit with the goats, because they just love on me. You know, goats are very much my spirit animal, or the closest thing to me other than my little dog Tiki. And yes, their capacity to love you, their capacity to take you out of the pain that you're feeling in that moment, their capacity to help heal trauma is phenomenal, and we actually need to place them at a high level within our hierarchy of amazing things across the world and for which we should be eternally grateful. Animals should be up there, and we should treat them with the respect that they deserve. Before we run out of time, girls, Dorothy, I want you to quickly talk about your book and where people can get it. We've got the links ready to go up in wherever this show will be. You're watching this show from, the links will be right there in the live chat, and then afterwards they'll be in the show descriptor. But Dorothy, can you quickly just tell us about the name of the book and where people can get it?
Sure. The name of the book is The Overcomer, Facing Challenges with Faith and Courage, which can be found on Amazon or on my website.
Fantastic. Now, Kimberly, the question I wanted to ask you was, have you written a book? Have you ever thought of writing a book? Do you think you will write a book? Aha!
Yeah, so I do have a book. It's an Amazon bestseller. It's part of the yes. Overcoming Mediocrity series, and it's the one on being fearless.
Ah! There we go.
It can be accessed on omfearless.com. That's our website.
Ah, fantastic.
Find out about it.
So what is it you think, ladies, that is a key component of humans sharing stories? Why is it so important? I'll go with Kimberly first this time. Why do you think it's so important that we continue to share
that space,
our life stories?
It's great. I would, you know, it's cathartic. Would be, if I were going to put it into one word, you don't realize the impact both internally and externally. All of life is connected to all of life. So yeah. The stories getting out, you know, out here,
yes.
impact is exponential. And the healing, more importantly,
yeah. right?
You have no idea to what degree the healing and the reverberation of the healing is.
Correct.
And holding it creates a world of...
it compounds the trauma.
Yeah, it absolutely compounds and keeps the trauma alive. It's also selfish. Which is just strange words to use inside, and I know you guys get it, is, you know, when you're not sharing, and I love what Dorothy said tonight, it's like, you don't know who committed suicide tonight because you didn't share.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. And the impact is that big. It is, and especially yes. the world we live in today. With the rate
definitely
of technology, with the clarity of uncertainty. I mean, we always live in uncertain times. Every day is uncertain. But the reality yeah. of just how uncertain things are is weighing on people, you know, literally.
Definitely.
The stories matter.
And for you, yeah. And for you, Dorothy?
Definitely healing. You know, it's to write that out again. I mean, like, I went through 10 years of healing before I even wrote the book. Mm-hmm. But it's like healing is like an onion. You peel each layer at a time. So writing the book was definitely...
And more.
Yes, exactly. Just when you think you finally licked the situation, something else comes and triggers
That's
you. And
something
you
else
go.
Comes up.
Yeah. You know, so definitely it was therapeutic writing it. But, you know, like we've said tonight, it's by not sharing it, we're doing a disservice to humanity. You know, and like you really said, we have no idea the impact that we have on by sharing that. And as a matter of fact, the other day I was praying on my way to work, and all of a sudden it was strong that there was somebody in my vicinity that was struggling mentally, and there was
yeah.
they were ready to take their life. And all of a sudden I stopped the yeah. vehicle. Well, I just pulled into work. I I'm a live streamer, so I have my StreamYard yes. on my phone at all times. And I just pulled it out and I'm like, you know, yeah. normally, guys, I don't normally do this, but there's somebody there out there with a knife, a gun, something that is going to, a rope that's going to take their life right now. And I just want you to know that your life matters. And now, no matter how much you have screwed up in your lifetime and how much you think God does not love you, God loves you, and you are here for a reason. And you're listening to this message right now because, you know, your God is bigger than your situation. And I out of the blue, I just did it. And I was just like, I don't know. I said, I don't know who needs to hear it. And if you need somebody to talk to, yeah. private message me right away. And I will yeah. talk with you. You know, I will help you through it. I didn't get a message, but that's okay. I mean, it's out there. It's out there for years to yes. come, for the rest of my lifetime yes. and beyond.
Yes. So if
anybody...
And you don't know.
Yeah.
And you may never know, but no. because you had the courage to do what you were prompted to do in that moment, you may never know the end result of that, and you don't need to. Yeah. And that's the other thing, ladies, I wanted to say, that there's a certain amount of courage required to tell your story. But I can absolutely say, and I'll defer to Dorothy and Kimberly as well, but getting over yourself and telling your story that first time will be the worst moment. It gets better after that. It yeah. just does. It gets better for the telling. It gets better for the healing. And you don't know whose life you're going to help, whose life you're going to impact just by heeding that call. And the other good thing about that is that you help heal yourself, because telling that story comes with healing. If you keep it, and I have this conversation multiple times a week, but if you don't have the courage to talk about the hard things, you may never get to the place in life that you need to be. You may never achieve the dreams that you were meant to achieve, and you may never help the people that you're meant to help, because there are billions of people out there. They can't hear the message they need to hear from me if they need to hear it from Dorothy. They can't hear it from me if they need to hear it from Kimberly. And so that was one of the biggest changes in mindset for me, to realize that it's not about me. It's about the person that hears that story, and it triggers a healing process, a prompt to do something different in life, a prompt to seek out therapy, a prompt to go to the doctor. It's not about me. It's about the people in the world that you'll help. Ladies, just quickly in the last couple of minutes, what's the best way to listen to your show? When is it on? And where can people connect with you? I'll go with Kimberly first again.
I'm actually going to let Dorothy take that.
Yay!
It is Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are on three locations. We are on yes. my LinkedIn profile, which is Dorothy Ann Graham O'Dell,
yes.
my Facebook profile, which is Dorothy Graham O'Dell, or on our YouTube channel, Unstoppable Overcomers. Yay. And right now, we are putting a plea out there.
to subscribe,
because Kimberly and I have a game going on right now. We're trying.
Ah.
No, we are not trying. We are going to reach 174 subscribers by the end of January, and we need your help.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'd love for those subscribers to be global. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the best sort. So, Unstoppable Overcomers on yes. YouTube. We need you to subscribe to that channel today. Yeah? Today.
Yes. Right now.
And you will let us know as soon as you hit that target, won't you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But it'll
fantastic.
Be tomorrow.
I know. I'm expecting an email tomorrow, lovely ladies. It's going, we hit that target. Okay?
Absolutely. We will hit it. We were going to hit it way before the end, and then our next target is 1,000. So we need you to hit our initial and then our next goal.
Yes. Yes. Well, let's see what we can do about that. Wonderful women. It is the end of the show. It has been a divine pleasure to have you both on Radio Tony Everyday Business. I'm very appreciative to have met you, talked to you. Dorothy, it's just, it is an ongoing love every time I talk to you. Kimberly, I'm so glad that you're part of this journey as well. Now, just a reminder before we go, audience, I want you to jump onto YouTube, go to search for Unstoppable Overcomers, and I want you to subscribe. We want to be able to announce next week. You know what we asked you to do last week? Well, guess what? The girls let me know. This is how many subscribers they have. Dorothy, thank you so much. Kimberly, thank you so much. I will be back next week with another episode of Everyday Business. I'm your host, Tony Lummis. Bye for now. Thanks, lovely ladies.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now.